I'll give you the short answer right off the bat. It has to work. I'm not a big believer in win-wins in that case. I'm a much bigger believer in, if you're coming from a point of contribution, service, or trying to help, it's really easy to be authentic. So take that as your foundation. Not what I'm going to do, not how I'm going to gain, not how this is going to, you know, make me money or whatever. Take that out and literally start at the very opposite end. Why would this matter to somebody else? Here's what you learn in terms of the art of communicating, selling, coaching people to communicate authentically. If you're coming from the point of service, it's way more easy. It's much easier to be authentic.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the first part of my conversation with John Duffin. My next guest is the creator and host of the Your Message Received podcast, a groundbreaking platform exceeding 125 episodes, where he empowers executives, businesses, and individuals through impactful storytelling and strategic communication training. With over 25 years of experience in media, spanning broadcast, radio, digital, and streaming, his career has been driven by a passion for culture, content, and inclusion. As a live event announcer, marathoner, and dedicated Philadelphia sports fan, he infuses energy into every endeavor. Family is central to his life, inspired by his 95-year-old mother, who began acting at 74. At Duffin Media, he champions authenticity, helping clients unlock their potential and elevate their communication for life-changing results. His name is John Duffin, and our conversation about having a good conversation should be essential education. Effective communication is so important, especially these days. So keep listening for some tips and ideas to help you communicate more effectively in your own life. As always, if you have questions for my guest, you're welcome to reach out through the links in the show notes. If you have questions for me, visit audiobrandingpodcast.com, where you'll find a lot of ways to get in touch. Plus, subscribing to the newsletter will let you know when the new podcasts are available and what the newest audio chats will be about. And if you're getting some value from listening, the best ways to show your support are to share this podcast with a friend and leave an honest review. Both those things really help, and I'd love to feature your review on future podcasts. You can leave one either in written or in voice format from the podcast's main page. I would so appreciate that. And now, here's my conversation with John Duffin.
Thank you so much for joining me, John. I know we have been trying to do this for a little while now.
I am thrilled to be here. Absolutely thrilled. Like I said, I love working with detailed people, and I love like your systems and all that stuff. You're exactly right. You were traveling. I had some stuff coming up. So yeah, you're totally worth the wait. Thanks for having me aboard.
That's wonderful. Yeah. So I usually like to start off these conversations by asking you if you can tell me a story of an early memory of how sound moved you. Do you have one of those?
I do. I can still picture. So when I was a kid, I'm old enough to say when I was a kid, there were 45 RPM records.
Okay.
So I can still picture me seated in front of it. And I don't know how I was buying them. This is the part of the story where I'm blanking because I know I was a kid, but I had early Motown RPMs, and I can still remember Temptations and Smokey Robinson and the Jackson 5 and what have you. And I can remember how it moved me. It moved me to the point where I would be seated directly in front of the turntable. I grew up in Philadelphia, in the Northeast Philadelphia. So we had one listening system, right? And so I remember that memory of being seated in front of the turntable and being like all particular about, like I was wiping them down. This is long before I got really fussy with like the brushes and all that expensive stuff. But I remember the, wiping them down with dish towels, which I know was not supposed to be what the record companies were looking for. Uh-huh. But to get the dust off, I'm like scrubbing them like a pot.
Oh, so no.
Mixed results of that, to say the least. But it moved me because I can remember the way that my mood changed, you know, and that it was really important. And my parents both loved music, but my mom especially would play records and sing to them when she was doing either housework or raising our five kids. And I can just remember the happiness in regards to the way that she sang. So yeah, absolutely. And that was, like I said, the first that I can easily recall. It made me happy, not just to hear the music. It made me especially happy that it made my mom happy.
Oh yeah.
You know, and then from there, yeah. And I can remember the vibe, the feeling. I could still recall it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that. Yeah. Yeah. And that sounds like something that would be a really nice memory for you know, remembering mm-hmm. your mom and
yep.
yeah, all the emotions involved in that.
Still alive, thank God. She was turning 96.
Wow. Good for her.
Yeah. Shortly. But what I would say is, yeah, it was just a great sense of the power in the way that music moved me, mm-hmm. moved her. And that sense of power has never changed.
Sure. And security and safety too, I imagine, hearing your 100%. Mom sing like that. Yeah. 100%. That was very comforting.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So was your family musical in any way, or like, did you make music, or you just experienced music?
Which that.
Totally valid too.
Yeah. I think I had signed up for the Glee Club and okay. was ceremoniously not included. So yeah, no bad memories. So no, somebody just asked me the other day, and this sounds so self-serving, but the answer isn't, you know, oh, do you sing? Because you get, and I'm like, no. No, it's not that I don't desire to. Jody, I know you do. But that sense of good speaking people all sing, that stops with me. It just does. It's right. But experienced it 100% absolutely.
Yeah. No, I totally get that, because like, as far as voiceover is concerned, a mm-hmm. lot of people come to voiceover from music backgrounds.
Sure.
But there's also mm-hmm. drama. There's also mm-hmm. corporate. There's also mm-hmm. radio. There's like all sorts of ways mm-hmm. to come at things. So
yeah.
I'm sure that in your business, it's mm-hmm. the same thing. So yeah. But when it comes to studying communications, mm-hmm. like what got you interested in that?
That's a family thing. So here's okay. where there when it went from, not that we owned it, but I have two sisters. They were both in the communications field. My sister Maureen and my sister Denise. And I considered them to be the gold standard, that they both were and are like spectacular. They both had business savvy. And I can remember one was focused more on the television side. One was focused more on the radio side. They both had advertising agency experience, were well regarded. And I meant it, that the reason I used the term the gold standard was I can remember that they, when they were, neither is in the field presently, but they were revered, right? And I almost felt, and they're younger than me. So it took me a really long time to get right with what I wanted to do. I was more of a mimicker than I know I'm going to. I followed my brother Tom. I was doing some finance related sales calls and stuff. I worked for the government because my mom worked for the government. I followed things, and I can never forget this, that I remember we still do, our immediate family, siblings-wise, have a lot of mutual friends. We're lucky in that regard, that there's a lot of friends that we get to share for various reasons. And one of those reasons would happen to be, like, say, to things like a beach house, sharing a beach house. You know, whether it was for a week or in a few kids, several cases for a summer, which was awesome. So conversations would ensue. My brother Tom, who I love to death and is wildly inspirational, was in the financial services side. And I was in that for a little bit. It never felt terribly comfortable to me. I never felt very strong at what I did. And so conversations would break out, say, on a Sunday on the beach. And you talk about these like lines of demarcation. We'll just use a line in the sand, right? So there'd be these financial conversations that are going on a Sunday afternoon. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about work on a weekend. It'd be me, right? And then on literally the opposite side of the sand, there would be talks about communications. And I found it spectacular, like fascinating. Everything about it was fascinating and interesting to me. So I got into the field. I didn't want to step on people's toes. I didn't want to wreck the reputation of my two sisters. And that's what got me in. Their reputations got me in front of people. Nothing got me a job is what I learned too. So I had to be resilient. I interviewed with every television and radio station in the market. My first opportunity was at a radio station in Atlantic City, New Jersey, on the sales side. And so where I made my mark was on the sales side. Not only did I deliver, but I was really happy doing it. And I'll never forget making a call. It was about a week after I was in the field. I'm making no money. None. I'm driving a beat up bum car and I'm calling a friend of mine that was in my former field. And I still remember the phone call. I'm like, oh my God, I should have done this sooner. I can't believe how great this is. And from that point, I launched into a television sales management background and was in the field, that specific avenue of the field. I still am in the field, but was in that specific avenue for over 25 years. And so, yeah, that's what got me in, was the sense of not wanting to get in anyone's way, that sort of people pleasery thing. But I'm really glad I followed my heart there, because as it turned out in that instance, I was very right.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. And 20 years, like that's a pretty good run.
More than 25. Yeah.
That's
I was like
insane.
27. I was coached by my sister Denise, not all that long ago, because I would say close to 30 years in her words. See, she still got it. That it was like, she goes, oh, I'd say 25 plus, 30 plus makes you sound too old. So it's in there. Yeah. It was a great run. I got to do things, go places. It was a spectacular sense of being really happy. It was work, so I don't want to oversell that part of it.
Well, sure, work. Love what you do, you never work a day
in your life, right? That cliche really held true. I got to travel places. I was put in front of audiences, put in front of sales. You know, it was amazing. And I was able to leverage a lot of that expertise in terms of the more outward-facing communications that I get to do now.
Are you looking for ways to improve your company's or podcast's impact? You'd be surprised how powerful the use of an intentional audio branding strategy can be. Want to know more? I have a free downloadable PDF that gives you my 5 tips for implementing an intentional audio strategy at voiceoversandvocals.com/audio-branding-strategy. That location does ask to put you on a mailing list, just to send you updates on when the new podcasts come out. But if you really don't want to give your email out, I understand. Just contact me directly. My email is all over my website, and I'll make sure you get that PDF without needing to sign up anywhere. If you do sign up, though, you also get access to a resources section called The Studio, where I have videos, white papers and PDFs, discounts from my guests, and snippets of audio from my guests that no one else gets to hear. So maybe it's worth your while. Totally up to you. And of course, if you're looking for voiceovers, you can get in touch with me about that too. Now, back to the podcast.
So can you talk a little more about what you're doing now?
Sure. So I run a communications company, so thanks for asking, right?
Yeah.
It includes voice narration. That's how the company began. Mm-hmm. The job itself, my last company, I was with for 12 and a half years. And then that position was eliminated. And that happens. And so, right?
Of course,
so you have a choice to make. Obviously, you have more than one choice to make, but one of those choices is, do you continue to hang on and try to find another path for what you're currently doing? Or the other choice, which is the path I chose, was the one where I remember being told for a lot of years, weird, but it was very true. Strangers, I don't mean my family, my sisters, the beach conversation. I don't mean that. Strangers would come up to me at least one or two times a week. I don't mean one or two times ever, and say, oh, you have a really good voice. Have you ever, are you on the radio? So I would brush that off for, I don't know, decades. Just no, I'm in sales. No. Just dismiss them and dismiss that. And I remember I kept thinking, well, what if a couple of them were right? What if, so as my job, my last job was ending, I remember thinking, well, if they were right and if I don't find out, well, then I'll live to regret that. And so it nagged at me. So I made the call to launch this company, Duffin Media. And it was a voiceover company. That's how it began. Strictly a voiceover company, right? I'm going to go in. I'm going to, you know, buy all the fancy mics. And you, if you're watching, folks, you, that big thumb gray wall behind me is where I do my actual, what I say is my real microphone.
Okay.
And my, and
yeah,
all that stuff,
it.
Right?
Mine's all, in there.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly. Yeah. So all set up. And I got my first voice narration job within 2 weeks of leaving there, literally 2 weeks. And there was
talk
a couple
about
things.
Serendipity.
Well, it was spectacularly lucky. I don't take that for granted, right?
Sure.
But the other part that was really important for me was, I remember we were doing multiple takes. I'm working with the director and or the producer, sorry, and I guess she was both. It was her thing. So we're working together, and I think it got done at about 11 p.m. the job. I can just remember the time. What was relevant about that was, number one, I didn't care at all. I really didn't care at all, because it was just so fun and I felt so energized and everything was so great, and I wasn't griping like I was toward the end of a 27-year run. Now you're griping about how late you're working and the flights that you're traveling to nothing but fantastic places, griping about, oh, the flight was delayed. Now it's 11 o'clock. I'm working with technical equipment that I've never touched in my life. I have no technical expertise. And I can remember, I'm like, oh, well, whatever. We'll just take care of it. And the ease of how I felt, not the ease of what was going on, was really important. And that was the sign that I did the right thing.
Yeah.
Jody, the serendipity part that you brought up earlier. So ask me when I got my second job.
When did you get your second job?
Oh my God, that's such a good question. 6 months after.
Oh,
so
okay.
For the next 6 months, nothing happens, is how I put it. But in reality, what happened? I worked with voice coaches. Mm-hmm. I learned how to navigate technical equipment. I wasn't the helpless salesperson, sales manager that anytime something broke, you snap your fingers and somebody comes running over to go fix it for you.
Yeah.
So I had to learn all this. And so I guess the good part of literally waiting 6 months for a second anything,
mm-hmm,
was that I got to learn.
Oh, yeah. And there's a lot to learn. There is
a lot to learn. Oh, my God.
I mean,
there still is.
This is year 17 for me.
That's amazing, Jody. That's amazing.
So, yeah, but it's changed. It has changed a lot.
So here's the nice thing about that. Evolution, change, the way things evolve and stuff. The nice part, I would say, is this. Not to sound Pollyanna, but I really believe there's a gift and a skill in knowing that that's the reality, that it always changes in the business, the communications field. We heard it all the time as I coach clients, which is what I was saying, as I've morphed I'll add two things, which is number one, the first thing was in the change, the evolution. So it forces me to learn. And for a while, I really wanted to be treated, acknowledged as somebody who went all in. And so by that, I literally almost renounced what I did for over 25 years. Like an idiot.
Okay.
No, no, I'm a voiceover person.
Yeah.
Kind of like the way that I push back on everyone when they would come up to me and say, I have a nice voice. And rather than just say, thank you.
Yeah.
And go on and we live our lives. It's that sense, no, I want to be identified. So I would only speak about voiceover and voice narration and all that sort of thing. And a few years after that, I came to the realization, one, that's dumb. Your history is really important.
It is. I like to tell people that too, that we bring our history into everything that we do.
Personal lives,
yeah.
Your history. It's not just what you accomplished on your resume. Mm-hmm. I needed some additional time. I've always been technically, this sounds weird, slow. Slow in this regard, right? I didn't get my college degree until late. I floundered around, fooled around, didn't take it seriously. And as I've told people, my quest for that elusive four-year degree took close to 20 years.
Okay.
I didn't get my college degree until late. I didn't come out of the closet until I was 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do a number of things. I didn't get into the field that I was talking about until technically later. So what those reasons were, I don't know. But what I do know is this. That back to that sense of being able to communicate authentically, that never came easy for me. I was much more the people pleaser type. I describe myself when I'm coaching clients or leading training sessions or speaking, I typically describe, it's like picture the harried waitstaff person.
Yeah.
Right? That really wants to be good because I don't want to upset anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So just picture I'm running around, writing orders and racing around and can I get you? Can I deliver? Well, that was me. That was me. Worked great, as I found out, in the sales field because clients all, you know, snapping their fingers and saying, get me this. And I would just go get them that. Well, there were some good parts. You know, the clients loved me and they loved the fact, oh, he's great, you know, but I wasn't true. And it wasn't me. And that ability to be able to, in the way that I get to speak, wasn't 100% authentic. It was me trying to make you happy.
So,
and, you know,
can we get into the art of communication here?
Sure.
Because, you know, you're sure. Talking a lot about this. And,
yep.
And yes, that does have to do with your voiceover, certainly.
Yep.
But when you're communicating, how mm-hmm. do you sell something mm-hmm. authentically? Because that's tough for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Here's, I would say, I'll give you the short answer right off the bat. It has to work. I'm not a big believer in win-wins in that case. I'm a much bigger believer in if you're coming from a point of contribution, service, or trying to help, it's really easy to be authentic. So, take that as your foundation, not what I'm going to do, not how I'm going to gain, not how this is going to, you know, make me money or whatever. Take that out and literally start at the very opposite end. Why would this matter to somebody else? Here's what you learn in terms of the art of communicating, selling, coaching people to communicate authentically. If you're coming from the point of service, it's way more easy. It's much easier to be authentic. If you're coming from that point, and I don't mean the harried waitstaff people-pleasing type. I mean, the knowing. Jody and I were talking before we started this. I literally was like all freaked out over, don't forget to wear headphones, right? Well, here's why I know that.
Uh-huh.
I know it because I took the 2 minutes to read the steps to succeed that Jody was nice enough to send. You want to be authentic? You want to be able to communicate? Do your homework. So number one, if you do nothing other than come from a point of contribution and you've already done your homework, it's really easy to be authentic. I don't sell at people. I provide, this sounds so cliched, but it's so much easier and true. I provide solutions. You got a problem? It's up to me to be able to determine if you're nice enough to give me the real problem. And the only way I get that is I earn it. So I don't slam it out of you. I don't ask annoying questions. I've been taught and I teach others, ask good questions. How do you ask good questions? Pay attention.
Oh, yeah. Active listening.
Active listening and do your homework before.
Yeah.
Because if I'm coming in blind, like I remember they taught this, I'll give you same example in two contexts. So number one, I remember we were taught like this, it was like this revolutionary different training. So they used to say things like, okay, like a prospective interviewer would say, okay, sell me this pencil. Which was such an off-putting thing. It just for me was repulsive when somebody said that. Because I actually couldn't do it. I'm not that shticky sort of, you know, I'm not that. When I could take the time, folks, in this day and age, 5 minutes will go a long way in regards to preparation. Google, social media, read the damn instructions. You'll get there. And I say that because that's the one context. And then the other one is what I'm talking about, that coming from contribution. Because when you're asking good questions and they often begin with, oh, I saw that you, hey, I saw in an article that you were, you know, that you happen to like, that you happen to be a performer, that you were singing during the month of, what got you into that style of classical jazz or big band? What got you into that? As opposed to the either I'm going to sell you a pencil or that blank slate of tell me about your business.
Are you enjoying this podcast? If so, it would really help me out if you'd give it a review. The best place to do that in written format is at the bottom of the audiobrandingpodcast.com page. And if you want to do that in voice format, there's a link in the ending paragraph at the top of that same page. I would so appreciate that. It helps me to know what you'd like to hear more of and why you're listening in the first place. As podcasters, we rarely know who's actually listening, so it helps me to know that I'm not just speaking into the void. Thanks for that. And now, back to the show.
Nobody has the time. Nobody has the desire. You put people off if you don't acknowledge where they've come from. What's weird is it works this way for me, and I found out it works for just about everybody else. When you come from that direction, your voice does way more self-modulating.
Oh, yeah.
So you could take all of the, I got to sound empathetic. I got to sound this. I got to sound commanding here. You could take all that off the table and focus on what really matters, the person you're talking to.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Everything is a dialogue, really.
Right. And so, oh my God, one of my best voiceover coaches, I'm crazy about her. Her name is Kelly McGee. I haven't worked with Kelly in a while, but I love her to death. And she coached me for a while. It's some of the best coaching I ever had. So whether you were talking about voiceover, corporate narration, communications in a boardroom or a sales, there's some really inherent similarities that I've learned. And I just remember this from Kelly. And it's really, it's like always, who are you speaking with? And I would go through, I'd say it to Kelly, and I can't even do it without like getting like cringy when it's like, oh, well, you know, it's an adult 25 to 50 first. She's like, are you kidding? Who are you speaking to? She meant their actual name.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, right. And I remember, and it works, folks. Who are you speaking with? Where are you? So if you're in a lonely booth all by yourself, that's not the answer.
Are you in a coffee shop?
Are you at their house
with thousands of people around?
Right? Are you leading a presentation? Are you talking to your best friend and his two kids, or happen to be there? Mm-hmm. You know, and why would it matter to them? Not why would it matter to you?
Yeah,
it's why would it matter to them? And when I got it right, and then Kelly would say to me, she'd be like, "Okay, go talk to them." And how I knew it worked in an isolated voiceover scenario, and I take it into business all the time with me now, how I knew it worked, I would get chills at the end of reading like a copy. Not because I was all that, not at all. It was even more, I wasn't paying attention to myself at all. Didn't know what I sounded like, didn't know, you know, I had nothing. And that's why I would say is because you're focused on an outward facing sense of, rather than, do they like me? Do I sound so? So the art of communications in a perfect world has almost nothing to do with you. But don't take for granted the sense that you can come in sloppy or ill-prepared or with a previous agenda, or I've got to go close them now. None of that's so. And that's what I've come to learn. There's a real system. There's a technical system that works. And when you do it right, you just sound like you're talking to somebody.
Yeah.
And it's real and authentic, and you're not afraid, and you know, and there's a joy to it. So the chills came from the fact I could feel it, not that I was so good.
Yeah.
So that's
that
to me
how
it feels real, and it feels amazing, you know?
Yeah. It took me a long time to figure that out with voiceover.
Right.
Yeah. And the fact that they just want you to be you, you know, like that's a big one. That probably took me over 10 years just to get the hang of.
Jody, when people said, just be yourself, I used to be like, oh, for God's sake, how lazy of directions is that? When that's exactly what they were just literally trying
that
to tell you in a sentence.
That is what they meant. But it's hard for us to come to that conclusion with all of the training that we have in our head. That's
all
what
the
ends
training
up happening.
And overthinking and technical expertise, all that stuff. And that's why, like I said, I don't dismiss it. It's very meaning. The training enables you to think less. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things that I learned from business. One of the things I learned from both my sisters was they never came in unprepared, ever. They both sounded like they were having very casual, easy conversations. And I remember the first time, two examples where I was complimented in business presentations. I remember one of my colleagues at the first television station I ever worked. And we were literally selling nothing because we hadn't even come on the air yet. So it was insane. It was just insane. We're talking to clients about like what's going to happen, where all they wanted to talk about with was what has happened. So I have a foundation to make a decision. And I can remember one of my work colleagues literally said, oh my God, John, you, every time I hear you on the phone, you just sound like you're talking to your best friends, you know, and you're laughing and everything's this. I just loved it. But really the backstory was, I spent a lot of time preparing for those calls, a lot of time, and researching. And now with the ease of how quickly you can find information, folks, you could do it too. You could do it in 1/10 the time that I was taking. As I remind everyone, I was a very slow. I don't mean slow, but I mean, I was slow in that. So but I always was ready. And that's the thing, whether it's a voice narration, whether it's a corporate narration, whether it is a sales presentation, whether it is interviewing for a promotion or a next job, I tend to specialize working with people that are transitioning in regards to, because I remember how it felt for me when my job ended. I had to make that decision. So I work with a lot of people in that regard. And if you're walking into or trying to navigate waters that you're unfamiliar with, one of the things that becomes so important is always being prepared so you don't sound like a rookie.
This has been part one of our interview. I hope you'll tune in next week for part two. Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time.